Hearth and Talent Radio.
Jeffrey Combs, President and Founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Right there it is. Welcome to the Tuesday Facebook Live. Great topics. I'm just dialing in here, getting ready. Matt Smith, how are you? Scott Lucas and Aaron Knight. Aaron, good coaching you today. Duke, good to see you. Who else do we have here? Tracy Calvert, Deb Lucas. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I have a fabulous Facebook Live for you here this afternoon, the last Tuesday of January. I have Dylan the Crusher Albertson right here over my shoulder. Say hello, Dylan. Just lean in here.
Hello, everybody.
Dylan's got a little face hair going here like that. He's being rebellious.
We'll trim it up before the room.
He's going to trim it up before we go traveling. So welcome, Earl Teets. Good to see you here. Tracy and Savannah, Bob Campbell. Great to see you on Facebook Live. I will also be hosting a Facebook Live this evening, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Committed to bringing you sobriety, recovery, and letting go. And then also the skill set to be able to scale a business, being able to take that scale on the old graphic equalizer. Now, those of you as old as me, and you grew up in the 60s and 70s, we had graphic equalizers that you move the scale up. So that's what scaling a business is. It means you start to elevate consciousness, and you start to change who and what you attract. I will be bringing you a book. I'll bring it to the call tonight. A couple of people have asked me what the Akashic Records is and where they can find out more content. The Akashic Records are a record of every event that's ever happened in mankind. Now, I do have a client who specializes in readings of the Akashic Record, Julie Shipley, and that's also important because your body has a reading of every event that's ever happened to it. However, what happens to a lot of people is they repress their feelings and they say situations to me like, my whole childhood was a blur. I don't remember the past. I mean, I had a good childhood. I had a normal childhood. Well, that's great, but if you have a lot of debt, you're overwhelmed and you're avoiding, well, that's what this Facebook Live is for today, is to understand how to go from procrastination to production. In 2010, I wrote a book called From Procrastination to Production that later became a minor bestseller on the list called The Procrastination Cure. It ended up on four different languages. I ended up on a radio show with Mary Lou Henner. I ended up on the Oxygen Network and was interviewed on that for 6 minutes. And I did do a little book tour with that book, but I never really promoted it the way that I could have because of other duties and obligations. Incidentally, I have a remastered book coming out that I put a lot of effort into and taking that book to the next level. And that book is called Psychologically Unemployable. That book has never really been marketed properly. I will be candid, none of my books have been marketed properly because being an author is a sideline to being a coach for me. So most of my time is devoted to being a coach. Even though I've written 5 books, marketing the books has not been a strong suit of mine. However, as I'm moving into this next phase of my life, you'll see me put more and more energy into that phase of the business. And so today's topic will assist you to have a better understanding of cause and effect, why you do what you do, then separating the facts and the fiction so you understand what you are avoiding. Some of the most common avoidance tendencies are avoiding being organized. Unfortunately, a large percent of the world, society, culture, your family, yourself, end up being undisciplined, overwhelmed, and unorganized. And if that is you, you will hear this from me, that is one of the, if not the, most challenging addictions to overcome. Heroin and opioids, in my own opinion, it's not that they're more difficult or they're easier, but they're more isolated. So when you're an alcoholic or when you're a drug addict or a compulsive debtor, well, it's right there in front of you. You can see and sense it. You know what that is. But when you're unorganized, it's like this. It goes off the screen. It's like it's off the charts. You're so unorganized, you cannot get your car in the garage. That would be a clue. If you can't park your car in your garage, it means you're holding on to a lot of stuff. And if you are constantly wrestling with your weight, that means you're overwhelmed. It means you're stuffing your feelings. That means that you're avoiding letting go of the foods that keep you holding on to the same set of feelings. Then your body holds on to the weight. And if you're committed to letting go, that means you become skilled. It's a skill. It's a longer breath cycle. So that the neurons that wire and fire, that collapse, that form the feelings, that create the emotion that is anxiety, anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings, grief, apathy, and pride, these emotions that you hold on to, as you begin to let go of these feelings you repress and stuff, those emotions aren't as prevalent. You don't find yourself pissed off, angry, resentful. You don't enter into conversations anxious about being rejected, abandoned, neglected. You're not worried about being judged. You're able to be you in the moment. You're here and I'm me and I'm free. And you're able to be in that state. But if you're a chronic avoider, which means procrastinare in Latin, or to procrastinate, well, that can be an epidemic for you because it can show up in many, many ways. Shows up in your taxes, shows up in your organizational skills, shows up in being late, shows up in being behind, shows up in missing payments. It shows up in a whole multitude of situations because you're overwhelmed. Because you become and stay overwhelmed, a lot of situations fall through the cracks. And you want to start a business and the moving parts of a business, well, that's going to be a challenge for you because you don't have a system, you don't have a routine, you don't have a method, and you're not disciplined. Now, all of this can be let go of in a period of time. In the next 24 months, 18 months, 12 months, 6 months, 3 months, 1 month, 1 week, 1 day, you can be in sobriety. You can be in recovery. You can be in the now, in the know. You can be in a let go state so that you will begin to change who and what you attract. Now, if you're building a business from your home, or if you're building a franchise in a traditional brick and mortar type of business, whatever it is that you are building so that you can live your dreams. So if you're actually in this process, if you want to have a better life, you want to live a good life, you want to live your dreams, you want to live where you want to live, you want to live on your terms and your time frame, well, then there's a process to that. And that process is not difficult, it's new. But if you stay in an overwhelmed state, that means your body stays confused. It confuses your brain. Your body reacts to the stimulus, then your brain gets overwhelmed. Now you're in a short breath cycle in a place called fight or flight in your upper chest like this, going, oh my God, I don't know. I'm not sure what to do, who to be. I don't know what to say. If someone would just tell me, how do I, how do I, how do I? Well, it's not a how do I, it's why don't you? And it's instead of focusing on what you don't want, that's what many people, I don't want to fail. You let go of this energy. You don't focus on not failing, you focus on changing. And that change is the skill set, the mindset. One of the most important skills to overcoming any avoidance is to understand what's the significance and the meaning that you're giving a future event that hasn't happened. Well, rejection takes on its own shelf life. Rejection occupies a lot of time for a lot of people in sales, branding, marketing, coaching, any of these types of businesses where it requires you to reach out to someone and ask for a commitment, ask for an obligation, ask for a time frame, ask if you can present a situation. Because the body runs the brain. The brain gets overwhelmed. Your mouth opens. I don't want to offend someone. I don't want to alienate someone. I don't want to be judged. I don't want to get rejected. I don't want to be abandoned. I don't want to make a mistake. And most importantly, this is one of the number one reasons that people avoid, is they don't want to get in trouble. Now, I'm recovering from getting in trouble. I was not really a problem child. My problems as a child was I had asthma. Now, a child, there's a whole mind-body connection. That look that up in Louise Hay's book, what a child with asthma is, and you'll understand it. And the more you understand mind-body connection to the events, and then as you understand those events, why you do what you do, that's when the separation happens. That means you separate your feelings from events. That separation gives you space, and that space is called allow. As you're allowing yourself to move into a higher level of consciousness, but that also requires you to, in layman's term, get out of your head. And getting out of your head means analyzing, thinking, processing, intellectualizing, validating, justifying, and explaining yourself. And if you're a chronic explainer, validator, and justifier, you will have challenges selling, because selling is a skill that requires the ability to ask questions in a sequence, qualify people for your time, let go of any guilt associated with an outcome that hasn't happened. Let go of guilt associated with events that have happened, and let go of worry about events that also haven't happened, so you're right here and you're right now, so that you are able to listen with this ear, your non-dominant ear. If you're right-handed, your non-dominant ear is your listen ear. You lean into it like this. That's an auditory skill. Being present is another skill. You're right here, right now. You're able to hear what's meant while hearing what's said. Yeah, Y-E-A-H. That means the person's going to tell you a story. I'll get back to you, or why don't you get back to me, or what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this on hold for right now, and when everything's perfect, then I'll rejoin, I'll recommit, I'll hire you, I'll buy your product, service, benefit, and feature. I'll be back. Now, in sales language, that's called a be back, and a be back is someone be back, I'll be back, I'll be back. A be back represents about 1% of the selling audience, buying audience that actually does come back because they actually meant it. And it's going to be your responsibility to distinguish. That means that you can separate. You can distinguish who is a qualified buyer from who is not. But if you avoid this process, you continue to get ready, then the payoff is you avoid failing while failing and being disappointed. It's the trifecta. Avoid failing and disappointed all in the same energy. That's what happens to so many people who tell themselves they want to live a good life. I want to live my dreams. I want to move to California. I want to live on a beach. Well, if you want to live on a beach, you have to determine, is that a lakefront beach? Is that on a river? Is that on an ocean? And then what are the price points of that beach you're going to live on? That is called reality, chief, R-E-A-L-I-T-Y. And so many people, they are big deal chasers. They're going to live this big idealistic life while their habits suck. Well, that doesn't happen. Because if you're not disciplined, if you're not emotionally vested in the process of recovery, if you're not emotionally invested in living your dreams, and all you do is talk about them and you don't deliver the action. Inaction, like I'm inaction or inactive, that's on this bench. So one, you're in the game, and one, you're in the bench. So it's your responsibility to understand why you avoid what you avoid. Some of those common reasons people avoid changing is the perceived pain of the change. Now, in the reality, once changing has facilitated, the other side of change is liberating. But it takes more energy to be an addict. It takes more effort to stay in an overwhelmed state than it does to stay in a productive state. It takes more effort to get ready than it does to create a result, to create a solution. It takes more effort to overwhelm yourself, because that's not going to affect your adrenal system, your lymphatic system, your thyroid, and a whole host of other situations that will keep you in an emotionally overwhelmed state. And this chronic state that you're avoiding creates health issues, fibromyalgia, chronic neck pain, chronic back pain, lower lumbar pain. L4 will go out in your lower lumbar frequently because of some of the situations you hold on to. Then it tricks your body into being, oh my God, I have my nerve in my leg, my knee, my ankle. Well, it all can be understood in the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do. What repressed feelings are you holding on to? What feelings are you suppressing that keeps you in the same situation over and over? Now, on the syllabus, that's a good word. Syllabus is a good term for the 7 points that I put down. Now, when I write out the content for a call, here's what it originally looks like. It's on a white piece of paper. It's written out like this, and then eventually goes out like this in an email to my database. That's the simplicity of it. When I plan for a call, I plan about 4 weeks in ahead, meaning that I'm not avoiding it. I have a system. Every Sunday, I do 1 month away's Facebook Live in a system. So I did this 4 weeks ago on the January 1st weekend. And so then they go in a stack, and it's that simple. And I have 7 simple bullet points for a call. That's the syllabus. Now, as I said, the syllabus just means 7 bullet points for the Facebook Live I'm going to cover. And I don't always cover them perfectly, because content does not have to be delivered perfectly. Content is about effectiveness. And the same situation in business. And what many people avoid being perfect because they're not sure if they can be perfect. So since they can't do it perfect, they avoid it until they are perfect. And that perfect model, I'll hire you when I have the money. Well, no, hire me, commit to having the money. So hire me today or buy today and then create. So it's decide and create, commit and create. What many people do is avoiders, I'll commit when I have it. I'll commit when it's perfect. I'll commit when Mercury's in retrograde. I'll commit when the planets align. I'll commit on the 1st of July. I'll commit later in the year. I'm just going to put it on hold and I'll get back to you. That's how many people talk who are chronic avoiders. So point one on the syllabus, Point one, the link between low self-esteem and procrastination. The reason that you'll procrastinate and have low self-esteem at the same time is because low self-esteem is an effect. It's not a cause. So low self-esteem is a direct, in direct correlation and direct relativity to the events that have happened to you that reference that you're not good enough. So if you've been molested, abused, traumatized, if you grew up in an alcoholic household where a father leaves, or men are coming into the household, or women are coming into the household, or if you get moved over to your grandmother, you get moved on up here to your uncle, and then you get moved back over down here, or you get pregnant early in your life, or you have anorexia or bulimia, or you get singled out, or you get traumatized, you're called skinny, you're called fat, you're called a waif, you're called a freak, you're called a flake, you're called all these names, your body starts flexing and flinching. This is when you start to become emotionally addicted to a set of feelings. And you worry about going to school because you're going to get picked on. Now worry becomes a way of life. Now you have low self-esteem. And this is what happens. And so, however, in low self-esteem, you can sometimes become educated. And in education, you can scale up a little. You can get a college degree. You can get a job. And you can get paid what that job's worth. But then you go out into free enterprise. You go, oh my God, I have high confidence but low self-esteem and I'm not sure if I can succeed in this business. You can virtually have confidence because you're competent and still have very low self-esteem. You can be competent in being an office administrator. You can be competent in being a sales professional in someone else's business. But put that person who has low self-esteem in their own business, they will procrastinate because their body will run their brain and they'll create rejection that doesn't happen. And instead of being rejected, they'll avoid it, and they'll keep getting ready to get ready. They'll medicate, hesitate, levitate, pontificate on education. Then they'll educate to medicate. They'll educate themselves while medicating themselves to avoid failing while they're failing, avoiding failing. It's the ultimate contradiction. Now, once understood, so wow, that's a breakthrough. Once understood, the let go process happens. How do I let go? It's, letting go is not a how do I. Letting go is a committed state of emotion where you can, in metacognition, you can see, you can observe, you can see what's going on around you. In rigorous honesty, be clear why you do what you do. I do this because of that. That is why I do this, and that's what I'm going to let go of. So that I'm not doing this. So it's simultaneously, concurrently like this means you have a better understanding of how you neurologically became addicted to a set of emotions. So you now can interrupt a feeling in mid-moment. So it's the same in sports. It applies to this. I cover this with my assistant Dylan all the time, how sports is a metaphor for life. See, right out there is the street. And so if I go out there, that's going to require some street sense, some creativity, some innovation. So if I'm out of business this afternoon, in a short period of time, I'll be right out there back in business with creativity and innovation, meaning I will figure it out. But if I sit up here and whine and cry and get overwhelmed and I lament on everything I once had, now no one's giving me any love, well, that's what a victim does. A victim creates a reason not to. Someone in recovery and sobriety or someone who is committed to the process finds a reason to overcome it. And that is the difference between being a procrastinator and a producer. A producer focuses on results and solution. A procrastinator finds the reasons not to be productive or live in the solution. The degree of difficulty, how hard it is, I'm not educated enough, I don't know enough, I don't know this, I don't have the right mentor, I'm not in the right team, I'm not in the right place, I'm not at the right time. So that's how an addict will talk. That's drunk talk. Addicts talk like drunks. They talk over and over and they talk too much. And that addict that encounters sales ends up talking people out of the business so they can fulfill their disappointment. Now, when you understand this, you go, whoa, I'm committed to changing so that you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape the feelings. Understand the cause of low self-esteem. Well, low self-esteem means, the effect is not good enough. It means you'll have challenges receiving, deserving, and asking. But the cause are the events that shape the feelings. You have an unloving set of parents, an unloving parent. You have a brother or sister who traumatizes you. You go to school and you get picked on. These are the events that shape the feelings. When you continue to say, I don't know, I don't understand, my whole childhood was a blur. Well, that means you're in denial. You can't possibly let go of a ghost But when you have a better understanding of why you do what you do, and then you understand the significance and the meaning that you've given it, now you can let it go. And letting go means separation. You're no longer emotionally attached. Neurologically, that means the neurons that wire and fire, it means they don't have a shelf life. They begin to dissipate rather than collapse and condense. And so that in John DeMartini's book, Dr. John DeMartini's book, The Breakthrough Factor, he breaks it down. It's called the collapse. And so when you collapse an event and collapse a feeling, the meaning changes. It means you don't give it the same meaning. That means change the meaning. So if you're pissed off at someone and you're holding them responsible for you being angry, you let them go so that you're no longer the mind-body connection to that conflict. When you let someone else guilt you into not being good enough, or you hold someone else responsible for your feelings, well, then that's what creates your anger and your resentment. That's what keeps you in a rejected, abandoned state. But when you let go of them, when you change the meaning, then you're not giving them power, or you don't give power to an event. I've had people say, I didn't graduate from high school. I can't succeed in business. Well, a PhD would be a public high school diploma, and that's not necessary in business. You don't require any education. I quit college. Someone was telling me, I quit college. Well, cool, but what does that have to do with being a real estate agent? Nothing. Only the significance in the meaning that you give it. Well, I went out to dinner with my sister-in-law, and her husband's a doctor. I'm like, and? So he's a doctor. What, he's part of pharma, big pharma? I mean, and what does that mean to you? Well, he has a degree and I don't. Well, you're giving it meaning. So if he has a degree, what? He lives in a big fancy house and you live in an apartment. So what? You're on the way up, chief. But if you keep giving this power, then you're the mind-body connection to the events issue. Well, I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. Well, according to who? I mean, now is now. That was then. Let go of the significance of the meaning. Well, we were poor white trash. That was then, this is now. I mean, when you let go of the meaning and the significance that you give events, then you're not the mind-body connection of the events anymore. But if you live in this overwhelmed state, intoxicated emotionally, you don't understand why you do what you do, living in denial. I mean, this takes some effort. This is there's a chronology, there's a timeline, there's the events, and here is now, baby. And right here, right now is 2020. If this is your year, then own it. Then step into it. Step into the power of it. It's an I am state. It's not something you stand behind and go, better get some more education. I'm going to go read Letting Go a little more. Well, read the book and apply it. That's the significance of it. That's how you become the person that you were destined to be. You don't do that by getting ready to get ready. Production consciousness. So that is number 7. My boat that I once owned, that I sold, and I sold that boat and then bought a Mercedes for my wife for our wedding, that boat was once called the producer. And that's who I am. I'm productive. So people go, wow, you're really busy. I go, I'm productive. You're a workaholic. I'm productive. It's all a matter of perception. You put a lot of effort into that business. I have to pay taxes. I have 4 insurance policies that I have payroll, quarterly taxes. I have taxes on taxes. I have expenses. That's called a business. It's an S corporation, California S corporation, where I pay state and federal income tax, and I pay myself a payroll, and I pay myself my employees a payroll. And we have an insurance policy. It's called a brick and mortar business. And if you ever are privileged enough to own one of those, then you will put in the effort to live the good life. But if you keep standing behind it, wishing, hoping, wondering. People have said to me, I'm lucky. I'm going, really? Well, I always thought that luck was an opportunity meant preparation. And so when I'm not lucky, I'm good. I'm productive. I'm results driven. Small town in Iowa, Clarinda, I'll pronounce that for you. Clarind. Look it up on the Iowa map. It's right over in the southwest corner and then drop down below at Maryville, Missouri. One's a town of about 7,500, one's 17,000. That's where I grew up. Small town boy. I didn't get lucky. I'm not a blue blood. No one handed me a silver spoon. I wasn't a frat boy. I didn't get a full ride scholastically. I got a partial scholarship to a small junior college in Iowa, played 2 years of college basketball, sabotaged my career while becoming an addict, hit rock bottom a few times, got clean and sober at 31 and reinvented myself. That's when opportunity meets preparation. And when you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape the feelings, then you are you and you are free. If you have not taken advantage of a free 20-minute coaching. So I'm running downstairs to do one right now. If you've not received the opportunity to have a free 20-minute coaching call and you're considering hiring me, go right up to Messenger, send me your number, and I will return your call this week. This is a week that I am not traveling, so I have a little extra time on the weekend. Someone just sent me a message. Where are you dining this weekend? Morton's in Sacramento. So I have a little extra time this weekend. Contrary to popular belief, I have a life, and I do. Not only am I productive, but I am very relaxed. And I, what I've been through, I would love to see any of you go through what I've been through as a business owner, so you can live the life I live. You can do it. You can be it. I mean, it's all right there for you, baby. Seven figures is not that difficult, and you can be that man or woman who creates that in an annual calendar year. Have a great afternoon, everyone. I'll see you next Tuesday on the More Heart Than Talent Mindset Facebook Live. I will be live tonight, 12 midnight. Have a great afternoon.
Keep crushing it.
Keep crushing it. Dylan, the crusher, Albert.